The Science Show on RN, where our PhD this week also works in the region. And his concern is mental health in his home country, Indonesia.
Hi, my name is Sanderson Oni, and I'm a PhD student in psychology at the University of New South Wales studying attentional biases in anxiety. Today, I'm going to talk to you about another area of psychology that I'm passionate about. Since high school, I volunteered as a youth pastor, and during my undergraduate years, I would make a point of going back home to Indonesia each summer to lead my school's retreat. On one occasion, we had finished the event and were all hanging around a bonfire. A young high school girl wanted to talk. Since her father passed, she'd been experiencing severe panic attacks. Many people call an ambulance during a panic attack. It's that terrifying. She couldn't seek help because there's such strong stigma against mental health in Indonesia, often even with people's own parents. Unfortunately, many adolescents who have had panic attacks hide away in their rooms, suffering alone. At that same retreat, another student came up to me and admitted to self-harm. Others had anxiety and depression-like symptoms. This wasn't isolated to that single event or even just to the youth. A family friend, a high-ranking official in Indonesia's aerospace industry, had such crippling panic attacks. He had to take a 3-month sabbatical, often not wanting to leave the house. Another prominent businessman had had depression and anxiety for over 2 decades, which unfortunately led to alcoholism. That's when I realized there was an elephant in the room called mental health. It was wreaking havoc. Unfortunately, it's a taboo topic in Indonesia. In a World Health Organization report of 2015, Indonesia had very high levels of psychopathology. And a recent report by the Indonesian Psychiatric Association reported 19% of youth had suicidal thoughts. Reports suggest these numbers will worsen over time. We often consider mental health issues to be problems of a developed society. However, in Indonesian rural areas, it is also a widespread problem. I met a woman who was describing symptoms of what I recognized to be a panic attack. Another had insomnia for a year due to depression-like symptoms. There's even an entire village which is famous for how frequently suicides occur. Due to suicide being accepted as a viable and culturally appropriate outcome of failure. In these rural areas, there is a practice called pasung, which literally translates to prison stocks, where if you were found to have any form of mental health issue, including depression, you would be placed in prison-like confinement, often with chains. One of my colleagues visited a rural area recently and saw that in some areas, each house would have their own little cage where they would put family members who experienced mental health issues. This was outlawed as recently as 2014, but many still practice it to this day. Due to a lack of psychological literacy in Indonesia, admitting you have depression could see you shunned in a more developed upper socioeconomic community or literally being put in a prison in some rural areas. I know this all too well, having been diagnosed with depression and having acute mental health issues in my own family spanning back 3 generations. The high rates of mental health issues, along with an extremely strong stigma, is problematic in and of itself, but even more so due to psychological research being scarce and largely underfunded, resulting in a lack of experienced researchers. There are small pockets of good work being done, but still far too few. The research projects I do in Indonesia are almost completely funded by me, not because I'm curious or have any sort of career agenda, but because there is a dire and very real need for it. Psychopathology is very different from one culture to another, and treatments that work in one culture may not necessarily be as effective elsewhere. This is especially true back home due to the incredibly heterogeneous nature of Indonesia, where patterns of psychopathology in one subculture may be vastly different from another. For example, the Javanese and the Batak people. And all of that interacts with education, geographic location, socioeconomic status, age, even superstitions. If we are to help our fellow countrymen, communicate psychological knowledge and treat them, we must first understand the underlying patterns and mindsets. I have begun collaborations with organizations back home and researchers here in Sydney. One project we're working on is with a psychology counseling institute called Personal Growth, where we're investigating the factors which contribute to mental health and mental health seeking. This is underway, and we're just about to run a feasibility study. However, we're running into all sorts of problems, such as dealing with local government, which is largely unfamiliar with psychological research, and getting the public to share information for a purpose they may not trust or understand. It all stems from the strong stigma around mental health. One outcome of this study, and some folks in China are already doing this, is to modify current psychological therapies to match cultural norms and values, which are very, very strongly held in Indonesia. This project will also help us communicate mental health issues to the public in a way that will challenge the incorrectly held beliefs, but also in a way that the people can accept and understand. Another project I'm working on is trying to tackle the issue of stigma being present in the parents, but not adolescents, resulting in the children wanting to seek help, but their parents denying it. This is seen mainly in the middle to high socioeconomic classes, in which the children are now exposed to some mental health literacy, but the parents may not be. We're using internet-delivered therapy with the idea that if we can't get the children to therapy, maybe we can take the therapy to them. I'm also developing a mental health first aid program in Indonesia so that the layperson would be able to understand and help someone else through mental health issues. However, funding is also a major hurdle here because all these projects require travel and resource development, and at this stage, there is no external funding. I recently made connections with Indonesia's Department of Education, and in January, I'll be visiting some schools in rural areas in Timor to see what mental health interventions would be useful. I've seen too many of my countrymen suffering from mental health issues. Indonesia needs a cultural change regarding attitudes to mental health. The need for mental health research and treatment is broad-based in both urban and rural areas. I'm doing all I can. The next step is for government to get behind what is a pressing need.
Sandy Oni doing his PhD at the University of New South Wales, and good work in Indonesia. That nation, our neighbour, has a population of 268 million, the fourth largest on Earth. So the challenge is enormous.